Yeah, then welcome. We continue after 2 weeks. We didn't have anything last week. You've probably all forgotten what exactly happens. And now we'll go on, and we'll not know what exactly happens. It's really the most mysterious part of the whole book, where anything can happen in fantasy. Now, Virag, the old grandfather, left, and they all exiled separately. That's where we are, after Quack. Yeah, then we read.
Virag's head. Quack! Exeunt severally. Stephen, over his shoulder to Zoe. You would have preferred the fighting parson who founded the Protestant error. But beware Antisthenes, the dog sage, and the last end of Arius Heresiarchus, the agony in the closet. Lynch, all one and the same God to her. Stephen, devoutly, and sovereign lord of all things. Flory to Stephen, I'm sure you're a spoiled priest or a monk. Lynch, he is, a cardinal's son. Stephen, cardinal sin, monks of the screw. His Eminence, Simon Stephen, Cardinal Dedalus, Primate of All Ireland, appears in the doorway, dressed in red soutane, sandals and socks. Seven dwarf simian acolytes, also in red, cardinal sins, uphold his train, peeping under it. He wears a battered silk hat sideways on his head. His thumbs are stuck in his armpits and his palms outspread. Round his neck hangs a rosary of corks, ending on his breast in a corkscrew cross. Releasing his thumbs, he invokes grace from on high with large wave gestures and proclaims with bloated pomp, the cardinal. Conservio lies captured. He lies in the lowest dungeon with manacles and chains around his limbs, weighing upwards of 3 tons. He looks at all for a moment, his right eye closed tight, his left puffed out. Then, unable to repress his merriment, he rocks to and fro, arms akimbo, and sings with broad, rollicking humour. Oh, the poor little fellow, his legs, they were yellow. He was plump, fat, and heavy, and brisk as a snake. But some bloody savage to graze his white cabbage. He murdered Nell Flaherty's dog-loving Drake.
So, Stephen says over his shoulder to Zoe, you would have preferred the fighting parson who founded the Protestant error. That would be Martin Luther, the fighting parson. And from the point of view of Catholics, that would be an error. Then he said, beware of Antisthenes. Antisthenes is a Greek philosopher that was mentioned first in the 7th chapter. A classicist compared Stephen to him. Of course, the others would have no clue who that is. The dog sage because he was a cynic. The cynics, and the word cynic has to do with dogs. And the last end of Arius Heresiarchus. Arius was a heresiarch, a ruler of the heresies, those who had different views from the official one. And we heard long ago that at the end of of Arius was there was a famous dispute in the church. He died actually on the toilet seat with his entrails coming out. That's enough. The agony in the closet. Yeah, well, that would be Arius, but it sounds like a quotation. Lynch. Oh, one of the same God to her, meaning they wouldn't understand it anyway. Stephen devoutly, and sovereign Lord of all things. Glory to Stephen. I'm sure you're a spoiled priest or a monk. That has been thought several times already. Then he is a cardinal's son. Now, you know, cardinals should not have sons, or daughters for that matter. And that is changed to cardinal sin. Now, there's an original sin, and I don't know theologically whether there are cardinal sins. Then monks of the screw, and monks of the screw, that was a kind of a club of... Society of Intellectuals, and they assembled, and they called themselves the monks of the screw. Then you have a cardinal, His Eminence, Simon Stephen Cardinal Dedalus. So Stephen and his father are cardinals. Primate of all Ireland, I think I already said that the highest ranking clergy are called Primate of Ireland. But the primate is also a monkey or an ape, so it's obviously something to play with. Appears in the doorway, dressed in red suit on, sandals and socks. Seven dwarf Simeon, and that's also a monkey-like. Acolytes, also in red, cardinal sins, uphold his train, the slipper, peeping under it. He wears a battered silk hat sideways on his head. His thumbs are stuck in his armpits and his palms outspread. That is a kind of lawyer in court when they are sitting like that. Palms outspread. Round his neck hangs a rosary of corks, ending on his breast in a corkscrew cross. That's a strange rosary and cross. Releasing his thumbs, he invokes grace from on high with large wave gestures and proclaims with bloated pomp, cardinal. And then he says something which, again, we don't know what it is. All we have been told is that Joseph's father used to quote that. Conservio lies captured. He lies in the lowest dungeon with manacles and chains around his limbs, weighing upwards of 3 tons. Again, very strange. He looks at all for a moment, his right eye closed tight, his left cheek puffed out. A lot of stage comics then. Then, unable to repress his merriment, he rocks to and fro, arms akimbo, and sings with broad, rollicking humour that is always indicative of the music hall. And it's a song like the first song about the duck that at the opening. Oh, the poor little fellow, hi, his legs, they were yellow. He was plump, fat and heavy and brisk as a snake, but somebody, a savage, to graze his white cabbage, he murdered Nell Flat, his duck-loving drake. It sounds like a song that may well be at the back of it. Yeah, I think there we are. Mm-hmm. No?
A multitude of midges swarms over his robe. He scratches himself with crossed arms at his ribs, grimacing, and exclaims, I'm suffering the agony of the damned. By the hokey fiddle, thanks be to Jesus, those funny little chaps are not unanimous. If they were, they'd walk me off to the face of the bloody globe. His head aslant, he blesses curtly with fore and middle fingers, imparts the Easter kiss, and double shuffles off comically, swaying his hat from side to side, shrinking quickly to the size of his train bearers. The dwarf acolytes, giggling, peeping, nudging, ogling, Easter kissing, zigzag behind him. His voice is heard mellow from afar. Merciful, male, melodious.
Shall carry my heart to thee, shall carry my heart to thee, and the breath of the balmy night shall carry my heart to thee.
The trick door handle turns. The door handle.
Thee.
Zoe, the devil is in that door. A male form passes down the creaking staircase and is heard taking the waterproof and hat from the rack. Bloom starts forward involuntarily, and half closing the door as he passes, takes the topcoat from his pocket and offers it nervously to Zoe. Zoe sniffs his hair briskly. Thank you, mother, for the rabbits. I'm very fond of what I like. Bloom, hearing a male voice and talk with the whores on the doorstep, pricks his ears. If it were he, after. Or because not. Or the double event. Zoe tears open the silver foil. Fingers were made before forks. She breaks off and nibbles a piece, gives a piece to Kitty Ricketts, and then turns kittenishly to Lynch. No objection to French lozenges? He nods. She taunts him. Have it now or wait till you get it. He opens his mouth, his head cocked. She wheels the prize in left circle. His head follows. She wheels it back in right circle. He eyes her.
Touch.
She tosses a piece. With an adroit snap, he catches it and bites it through with a crack. Kitty, chewing.
The engineer I was with at the bazaar does have lovely ones, full of the best liqueurs, and the viceroy was there with his lady. The gas we had on the Toff's hobby horses. I'm giddy still.
Bloom, in Svengali's fur overcoat, with folded arms and Napoleonic forelock, frowns in ventriloquial exorcism with piercing eagle glance towards the door. Then rigid, with left foot advanced, he makes a swift pass with impelling fingers and gives the sign of past master, drawing his right arm downwards from his left shoulder. Go, 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 I conjure you, whoever you are. A male cough and tread are heard passing through the mist outside. Bloom's features relax. He places a hand in his waistcoat, posing calmly. Zoe offers him chocolate. Bloom, solemnly. Thanks, Zoe.
Do as you bid. Here.
A firm heel clacking is heard on the stairs. Bloom takes the chocolate. Aphrodisiac?
But I thought it vanilla calms or Minemo. Confused light confuses memory. Red influences lupus. Colors affect women's characters. Any they have. This black makes me sad.
Eat and be merry for tomorrow. Eats. Influence tastes too. Mauve. But it is so long since I seems new. Afro, that priest must come. Better late than never. Try truffles and Andrews.
Yep. Suddenly we have a multitude of midgets, small insects, swarms over his robe. He scratches himself with crossed arms at his ribs, grimacing, and exclaims, I am suffering the agony of the damned. I don't know where that's from. By the hokey fiddle, some kind of curse, by the holy something. Thanks be to Jesus, those funny little chaps are not unanimous, the midgets. If they were, they'd walk me off the face of the bloody globe. His head is Lawrence. He blesses curtly with fore and middle fingers. I don't know when that is done. Imparts the Easter kiss. Easter kiss is at the High Mass, you have something like that in church. Impart the Easter kiss and double shuffles. That must be a movement, a kind of comic movement, as they have in the music halls. Off comically, swaying his hat from side to side. Shrinking quickly to the side of his train bearers, they're small. The dwarf accolades. Giggling, peeping, nurturing, ogling, Easter kissing. Zigzag behind him. It's like the newspaper boys that zigzagged behind Bloom in the newspaper chapter. His voice is heard mellow from afar, merciful, male, melodious. Shall carry my heart to thee, shall carry my heart to thee, and the breath of the balmy night shall carry my heart to thee. It's also a song that we may have heard before. Balmy night is quite interesting. Balmy means, of course, soft and warm, but balmy can also mean mad. Balmy. The trick door handle turns. Don't quite know what the trick door handle is. And the door handle says, thee, echoing the song. The devil is in that door. A male form passes down the creaking staircase that is now outside of the room and is heard taking the waterproof and hat from the rack. We've seen these before. Bloom starts forward involuntarily and, half closing his door as he passes, takes the chocolate from his pocket and offers it nervously to Zoe. So Bloom is embarrassed because somebody is there outside. Zoe, sniffs his hair briskly. Thank your mother for the rabbits. That must be an English expression. Zoe is from Yorkshire, but I don't know what it is. She often speaks her proverbs. I'm very fond of what I like. Bloom, hearing a male voice in talk with a horse on the doorstep, pricks his ears. If it were he thinks that Boylan might still be out in that area for another go. If it were he, after, or because not, or the double event. Zoe tears open the silver foil. Fingers was made before forks. But also, of course, forks in a way replace fingers. She breaks off and nibbles a piece, gives a piece to Kitty Ricketts, and then turns kitteniously to Lynch. No objection to French lozenges. I don't know what French lozenges is. I haven't seen it in any language. He nods, she told him. Have it now or wait till you get it. He opens his mouth, his head cocked. She whirls the prize in left circle. His head follows. She whirls it back in right circle. The eyes are cats, so you have to catch a piece of chocolate. She tosses a piece. With an adroit snap, he catches it and bites it through with a crack. Kitty, chewing. Now this is again spoken. The engineer I was with at the bazaar. Don't forget there is a bazaar. And in the evening, there was fireworks. So she was with him at the bazaar. Does have lovely ones, chocolates. Full of the best liqueur, obviously some kind of praline. And the viceroy was there with his lady. We have seen the viceroy in chapter 10 driving diagonally through the city to open the bazaar. The gas we had, the fun we had on the toffed hobby horses, that would be some kind of roundabout. Tommy hobby horses, yeah, probably horses. And Tilly still. Now Bloom in Svengali's fur overcoat. Now Svengali was a sinister, evil kind of person in a novel by George du Maurier in Trilby. And it was a very famous kind of novel. Somebody you don't trust. Fur overcoat with folded arms and Napoleonic forelock, frowns in ventriloquial, when you speak with the stomach, exorcism with piercing eagle glance towards the door. Then rigid with left foot advanced, he makes a swift pass with impelling fingers and gives a sign of a past master. Sign of a past master is a step in Freemasonry. When you do the ritual, you can become a free master. Drawing his right arm downwards from his left shoulders. Go, go, go. I conjure you, whoever you are. Then a male cough and tread of her passing through the mist outside. Bloom's features relax. Obviously, the person outside is gone. He places a hand in his waistcoat, posing calmly. Noah offers him chocolate. Bloom solemnly, thanks. So he does your bit. Here. A firm heel clacking is heard on the stairs. Bloom takes the chocolate. Aphrodisiac. There is sometimes the idea that chocolate has an aphrodisiac effect. But I thought it is. Vanilla calms, Whether there was a chocolate with vanilla, I don't. Mnemo, confused, like confusing. Mnemo technique, of course. Red infant is lupus. Colors affect women's characters, any they have. This black makes me sad. Eat and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's from the Bible. Eat. Inference, taste, too. Mauve. But it's so long since. Seems new. And aphrodisiac, obviously. That priest must come. Better late than never. Try truffles at Andrew's. Truffles are a delicacy, of course. By the way, pigs find them out. So we have more pigs here. And Andrew's was a kind of upper-class shop. Yeah, and now we have another entrance. And we have the following pages. Many of them are under her spell. That is the mistress of the brothel, the madame.
The door opens. Bella Cohen, a massive whoremistress, enters. She is dressed in a three-quarter ivory gown, fringe round the hem with tasseled selvage, and cools herself, flirting a black horn fan like Minnie Hawk and Carmen. On her left hand are wedding and keeper rings. Her eyes are deeply carboned. She has a sprouting moustache. Her olive face is heavy, slightly sweated and full-nosed, with orange-tainted nostrils. She has large pendant beryl eardrops. Bella.
My word, I'm all of a muck sweat.
She glances around her at the couples, then her eyes rest on Bloom with hard insistence. Her large fan winnows wind towards her heated face, neck, and embonpoint. Her falcon eyes glitter. The fan, flirting quickly, then slowly.
Married, I see.
Bloom. Yes, partly. I have mislaid the fan, half opening, then closing.
And the missus's master? Petticoat government?
Bloom looks down with a sheepish grin. That is so. The fan, folding together, rests against her eardrop.
Have you forgotten me?
Bloom.
Ness?
Yo. The fan, folded akimbo against her waist.
Is me her was you dream before? Was then she him you us since knew? Am all them and the same now we?
Bella approaches, gently tapping with the fan. Bloom, wincing.
Powerful being, in my eyes read that slumber which women love.
The fan, tapping.
We have met. You are mine. It is fate.
Bloom, cowed. Firstly, I desiderate your domination. I am exhausted, abandoned, no more young. I stand, so to speak, with an unposted letter bearing the extra regulation fee before the too late box of the General Post Office of Human Life. The door and window open at a right angle cause a draft of 32 feet per second according to the law of falling bodies. I have felt this instant a twinge of sciatica in my left gluteal muscle. It runs in our family. Poor dear Papa, a widower, was a regular barometer from it. He believed in animal heat. A skin of tabby lined his winter waistcoat. Near the end, remembering King David and the Sunamite, he shared his bed with Athos, faithful after death. A dog spittle, as you probably... He winces.
Ah!
Richard Goulding, bag-weighted, passes the door.
Mocking his catch, best value and dub, fit for a prince's liver and kidney.
The fan tapping. All things end. Be mine, now. Bloom, undecided. All now? I should not have parted with my talisman. Rain, exposure, a dewfall on the sea rocks, a peccadillo at my time of life. Every phenomenon has a natural cause. The fan points downward slowly.
You may.
Bloom looks downward and perceives her unfastened bootlace.
We are observed.
The fan points downward quickly.
You must.
Bloom, with desire, with reluctance. I can make a true black knot. Learned when I served my time and worked the mail order line for Kellett's experienced hand. Every knot says a lot. Let me, in courtesy, I knelt once before today. Ah. Bella raises her gown slightly and, steadying her pose, lifts to the edge of a chair a plump buskined hoof and a full pastern, silk-socked. Bloom, stiff-legged, aging, bends over her hoof and with gentle fingers draws out and in her laces. Bloom murmurs lovingly. To be a shoe-fitter in Mansfield's was my love's young dream, the darling joys of sweet button-hooking, to lace up criss-cross to knee-length, the dressy kid footwear satin-lined, so incredibly small, of Clyde Road ladies, even their wax model Raymond I visited daily, to admire her cobweb hose and stick of rhubarb toe as worn in Paris. The hoof.
Smell my hot goat-hide, feel my royal weight.
Bloom, cross-lacing.
Too tight?
If you bungle handy, Andy, I'll kick your football for you.
Bloom, not to lace the wrong eyelid, as I did the night of the bizarre dance. Bad luck. Nook and wrong tash of her, the person you mentioned, that night you met. Now. He knots the lace. Bella places her foot on the floor. Bloom raises his head. Her heavy face, her eyes strike him in mid-brow. His eyes grow dull, darker, and pouched. His nose thickens. Bloom mumbles, awaiting your further orders. We remain, gentlemen. Bellow, with a hard basilisk stare, in a baritone voice.
Hound of dishonor!
Bloom, infatuated. Empress! Bellow, his heavy cheek chops sagging.
Adorer of the adulterous rump!
Bloom, plaintively. Hugeness! Bellow,
dung devourer!
So we have the entrance of the madame of the brothel. And there were such institutions with madames well-known who often became quite wealthy from their trade. And here it's called Bella Cohen. Now, Cohen is a Jewish name, and I think it means priest. A massive whore mistress enters. She is dressed in a three-quarter ivory gown, fringed round the hem with tasseled selvage, and cools herself, flirting a black horn fan. So, like Minnie Hawk in Carmen. Obviously, Minnie Hawk must have been a singer, a famous one. And in Carmen, of course, a fan would shoot quite well. And I suppose there must be pictures around of Minnie Hawk. On her left hand are wedding and keeper rings. Wedding ring, keeper ring. There's a different ring for each finger, I believe. Her eyes are deeply carven. She has a sprouting moustache, also not perhaps the most attractive, you can imagine. Her olive face is hairy, slightly sweated and full-nosed, with orange-tainted nostrils. She has large pendled beryl eardrops. Again, not everybody's ideal, but... Bella, my word, I'm all over muck sweat. Muck is Irish for pig. And that's also another kind of recommendation, muck sweat. She glances around her at the couples. Then her eyes rest on Bloom with heart insistent. Her large fan winnows wind towards her heated face, neck and umbrella. Her falcon eyes glitter. Again, many animals. The fan, flirting quickly, then slowly. Married, I see. So Bloom and the fan have a kind of conversation. Yes, partly I have mislaid, maybe the keys. The fan, half opening and closing. And the Mrs. Master, petticoat government. Bloom looks down with a sheepish grin. That is so. The fan, folding together, rests against her eardrop. Joyce is quite exact in what they do with their hands and objects and gestures and all of that. That might be worth a study. Have you forgotten me? Yes, no. Fan folded akimbo against her waist. Is me her was you dream before? Was then she him you us since new? And all them and the same now we. What was the kind of passage about identity? Who am I and what is the relationship? Bella approaches, gently tapping with a fan. Blue, winching, powerful being in my eyes. Read that slumber which women love. The fan tapping. We have met. You're mine. It is fate. Bloom, cowed. Exuberant female. Enormously. I desiderate your domination. desiderations. And there's something at the back of this. You know that Joyce looked at Venus in Furs, Venus in Pelts by Sacher Masoch, the book that gave masochism its name, when you like to be humiliated or exposed to pain. And that is something that kind of, we've all seen the stereotype that some men, often important men, judges and officers, and they are subjected by a woman, humiliated, they often put their feet, with booted feet on you and all of that. So that is at the background. And here, of course, Bloom's masochism, which he has a lot, comes to a head. I'm exhausted, abandoned, no more young. And then there's a great sentence. I stand, so to speak, with an unposted letter bearing the expiration fee before the too late box of the Journal Office of Human Life. The door and window open at right angle cause a draft of 32 feet per second. There's a wind, a draft, and you know 32 feet per second is the formula for the law of falling bodies in physics. According to the law of falling bodies. I have felt this instant a twinge of sciatica in my left gluteal muscle. It runs in our family. Poor did Papa, a widower, was a regular barometer from it. Yeah, of course, old people often can predict the rain in their limbs, in their joints. He believed in animal heat. A skin of tabby, cat, lined his winter waistcoat. Near the end, remembering King David and the Shulamite, he shared his bed with Asos, priest of the death. Asos is a dog. King David and the Shunammite is in the Bible. When King David was old, he took a young Shunammite, a woman from another tribe, to bed to warm himself. And he didn't do anything else, the Bible states. He shared his bed after death. A dog spittle, as you probably, maybe a dog spittle is good for certain wounds, he winces off. And then suddenly you have Richard Goulding, who suffers from backache. Bag weighted, he's usually carrying a bag, passes the door, mocking his cats. And then he says what he said in silence. Best body in Dublin, fit for a prince's liver and kidney. That's what they had in silence. Then he obviously disappears. The fan tapping. All things end. Be mine now. Then Bloom, undecided. All now? I should not have parted my talisman. Talisman is the potato that, you know, Zoe took away. And we hear it's a charm against rheumatism and things like that. Rain, exposure, dewfall on the sea, rocks. A peccadillo at my time of life, a little sin. Every phenomenon has a natural cause. And the fan, I'm still engaged with the fan. Points downward slowly, you may. Bloom looks downward and perceives her unfastened bootlace. These women always have high boots. We are observed. The fan points downward quickly. You must. Bloom, with desire, with reluctance. I can make a true black knot. I don't know if that black knot is something, a charm or something like that. Learned when I served my time and worked the mail order line for Kellett's, a shoe shop. Experience hand. Every knot says a lot. Let me, in courtesy. I knelt once before today. Now you can imagine that Bloom would like to be a shoe fitter because you're then very close to women's lower legs. Ella raises her gown slightly and, steadying her pose, lifts to the edge of a chair a plump buskin hoof and a full pastern. Pastern is the back of a horse. Silk socked. Bloom, stiff-legged, aging, bends over her hoof and a gentle finger draws out and in her laces, so it's by the shoelaces. Bloom murmurs lovingly, "To be a shoe fitter in Mansfield's was my love's young dream. The darling joys of sweet button hooking." Often they had very long high buttons with a lot of knots and hooks. "To lace up crisscrossed to knee length, the dressy kit footwear satin-lined, so incredibly small, of Clyde Road ladies." Clyde Road is a fashionable, rich part of the city. "Even their wax model, Raymond, I visited daily to admire her cobweb hose," that is stockings that are obviously very thin, like cobwebs, hose, "and stick of rhubarb toe." What is a rhubarb toe? I don't know. Bloom. "Oof, smell my hot goat hide. Feel my royal weight." Ooh, crosses. "Too tight." He thought Gertie McDowell's boots were too tight when she limped. The hoof. That's a quotation somewhere. "If you bungle Handy Andy, I'll kick your football for you." Handy Andy is a character in an Irish novel. Bloom, not to lace the wrong eyelet, as I did the night of the bazaar dance that we've been recently. "Bad luck. That's bad luck. That's obviously when you do the wrong eyelet. Nook in wrong tash of her person you imagine. That night she met," obviously the night she met Boylan, and it's also a song of that night she met. "Now, he knots the lace. Bella places her foot on the floor and raises his head. Her heavy face, her eyes strike him in mid-brow. His eyes grow dull, darker, and pouched. His nose thickens, so he is changing physically. Bloom mumbles like a business letter, "Awaiting your further orders, we remain, gentlemen." Bellow with a hard basilisk stare. Now, I think the look of a basilisk when it meets you, that kills you or freezes you, in a baritone voice, "Hound of dishonor." That sounds like an Islam kind of curse. "You infatuated empress." And now you see Bella has become Bellow. She's turned male. Bellow, his. So you see, Bellow is now male. "His heavy cheek chops sagging, adorer of the adulterous rump." Bloom placement, hugeness. And then Bellow says, "Dung devourer." You know, by the way, from some letters that Joyce wrote to Nora in 99, after a bout of jealousy, where he wrote rather obscene letters, that Joyce had a kind of liking for the backside, for fecal things like that. There was a dung devourer is one of them. And of course, these were all perversions that were described to the reading public. Dung devourer, I think that's where we stop. No.
All right. Bloom, with sinews semi-flexed. Magnificence! Bellow, down! He taps her on the shoulder with his fan. Incline feet forward. Slide left foot one pace back. You will fall. You are falling. On the hands. Down. Bloom, her eyes upturned in the sign of admiration, closing. With a piercing epileptic cry, she sinks on all fours, grunting, snuffling, rooting at his feet, then lies shamming dead, with eyes shut tight, trembling eyelids, bowed upon the ground in the attitude of most excellent master. Bellow, with bobbed hair, purple gills, fat moustache rings around his shaven mouth, in mountaineer's puttees, green silver button coat, sport skirt and alpine hat with moorcock's feather, his hand stuck deep in his breeches pocket, places his heel on her neck and grinds it in.
Feel my entire weight. Bow, bond slave, before the throne of your despot's glorious heels, so glistening in their proud erectness.
Bloom, enthralled, bleeds. I promise never to disobey. Bellow laughs loudly.
Holy smoke! You little know what's in store for you. I'm the target to settle your little lot and break you in. I'll bet Kentucky cocktails all round. I'll shame it out, you old son. Cheek me, I dare you. If you do, tremble in anticipation of heel discipline to be inflicted in gym costume.
Bloom creeps under the sofa and peers out through the fringe. Zoe, widening her slip to screen her.
She's not here.
Bloom, closing her eyes.
She's not here.
Flurry, hiding her with her gown.
She didn't mean her, Mr. Bellow. She'd be good, sir.
Kitty.
Don't be too hard on her, Mr. Bellow. Sure you won't, ma'am, sir.
Bellow, coaxingly.
Come, ducky dear, I want a word with you, darling, just to administer correction. Just a little heart-to-heart talk, sweetie.
Bloom puts out her timid head.
There's a good girlie now.
Bellow grabs her hair violently and drags her forward.
I only want to correct you for your own good on a soft, safe spot. How's that tender behind? Oh, ever so gently, pest. Begin to get ready.
Bloom, fainting.
Don't tear my...
Bellow, savagely.
The nose ring, the pliers, the bastinado, the hanging hook, the knout I'll make you kiss while the flutes play like the Nubian slave of old. You're in for it this time. I'll make you remember me for the balance of your natural life.
His forehead veins swollen, his face congested.
I shall sit on your ottoman saddleback every morning after my tumpin' good breakfast of Matteson's fat ham rashers and a bottle of Guinness's porter,
he belches,
and suck my tumpin' good stock exchange cigar while I read the Licensed Fiddler's Gazette. Very possibly I shall have you slaughtered and skewered in my stables and enjoy a slice of you with crisp crackling from the bacon tin, basted and baked like sucking pig with rice and lemon or curtain sauce. It will hurt you.
He twists her arm. Bloom squeaks, turning turtle.
Bloom, don't be cruel, nurse. Don't.
Bellow, twisting.
Another.
Bloom screams.
Oh, it's hell itself. Every nerve in my body aches like mad.
Bellow shouts,
good, by the rumpin' jumpin' genital, that's the best bit of news I've heard these 6 weeks. Here, don't keep me waiting, damn you.
He slaps her face. Bloom whimpers.
You're after hitting me, I'll tell.
Bellow,
hold him down, girl, till I squat on him.
Zoe,
yes, walk on him, I will.
Flurry,
I will, don't be greedy, Kitty. No, me, lend him to me.
Bloom, with sinews semi-flexed, awful. Magnificence, Bellow down. He taps her on the shoulder with his fan. Incline feet forward. Slide left foot one pace back. It's like instructions. Hmm? You will fall. You are falling. That looks like mesmerizing, you know, hypnotizing. On the hands, down. Bloom, her eyes upturned in the sign of admiration. Closing. Truffles. With a piercing, epileptic cry, she sinks on all fours, grunting, obviously a pig, snuffling, rooting at his feet, then lies, shamming dead. That's what animals can do. They are immobile, shamming dead, with eyes shut tight, trembling eyelids, bowed upon the ground in the attitude of a most excellent master, and that is again something to do with Freemasons. Bellow. With barbed hair, purple gills, now fish have gills, fat moustache rings round his shaven mouth, in mountaineer's puttees, green silver buttoned coat, sports skirt, and alpine hat. It would be interesting, as I say, to draw these outfits. With moorcock's feather, his hand stuck deep in his breeches pockets, places his heel on her bloom's neck and grinds it in. Feel my entire weight. Bow bondslave before the throne of your despot's glorious heels, no so glistening in their proud erectness. Bloom enthralled bleats like a sheep. I promise never to disobey. Bellow laughs loudly. Holy smoke! You little know what's in store for you. I'm the Tartar. The Tartars were riding on horses, I think, without saddles. To settle your little lot and break you in. You break in horses. I bet Kentucky cocktails all round. Kentucky cocktails. Seems there are cocktails, I thought it might be something else. I shame it out of you. I thought in Kentucky they break in horses. Check me, I dare you. If you do trouble in anticipation of heel discipline to be inflicted in gym costume, Bloom creeps under the sofa and peers out through the fringe, so he hides under the sofa. Zoe, widening her slip to screen her, so the whores are in protecting Bloom. She's not here. Bloom, closing her eyes, she's not here. Floyd, hiding her with her gown. She didn't mean it, Mr. Bellow. She'll be good, sir. Kitty, don't be too hard on her, Mr. Bellow. Sure you won't. Madam Sir. Bellow coaxingly. Come, ducky dear. I want a word with you, darling. Sir, just to administer correction. Just a little heart-to-heart talk, sweetie. Bloom puts out her timid head. There's a good girlie now. Bellow grabs her violently and drags her forward. I only want to correct you for your own good on the soft side spot. How's that tender behind? Ever so gentle, pet. Begin to get ready. Room, fainting. Don't tear my... Bellow, savagely. The nose ring, the pliers, the bastinado, I think where you beat them on the foot, the hanging hook, the knout. I'll make you kiss while the flutes play like the Nubian slave of old. I don't know what the Nubian slave is here. But there's something Sacher Masoch's book about Nubian slaves. It's from that book. You're in for it, listen, this time. I'll make you remember me for the balance of your natural life. His forehead veins swollen, his face congested. I shall sit on your Ottoman saddleback every morning after my thumping good breakfast of Matteson's fat ham rashers and a bottle of Guinness porter, so breakfast. It was quite common, by the way, to have Guinness for breakfast. He belches. And suck my thumping good stock exchange cigar. I have a cigar, stock exchange. Obviously, he would be reading the stock exchange, she would have invested money. while I read the Licensed Victualler's Gazette, that is for pubkeepers. Very possibly, I shall have you slaughtered and cured in my stables, so room would become a pig to be eaten and roasted. And enjoy a slice of you with crisp crackling from the baking tin, basted and baked like the sucking pig, with rice and lemon, your current sauce. It will hurt you. He twists her arm. Bloom squeaks, turning turtle when you turn on your back. Bloom, don't be cruel, nurse, don't. Bellow, twisting another. Bloom screams. Oh, it's hell itself. Every nerve in my body aches like mad. Bellow shouts, good. By the rumping, jumping general. That's the best bit of news I've heard these 6 weeks. Here, don't get me waiting down you. He slaps her face. Bloom whimpers. You're after hitting me. That is Anglo-Irish. That means you have hit me. As I must have said several times, in Irish, there is no perfect time. I have hitting him, I'm after hitting him. I'll tell. Bellow, hold him down, girls, till I squat on him. Yes, walk on him. I will. Flory, I will. Don't be greedy. No, me, lend him to me so the horse can beat who can ride on Bloom. That's it, is what I get out of it. Yeah. No.
The brothel cook, Mrs. Kyo, wrinkled, grey-bearded, in a greasy bib, men's grey and green socks and brogues, flour-smeared, a rolling pin stuck with raw pastry in her bare red arm and hand, appears at the door. Mrs. Kyo, ferociously, "Can I help?" They hold and pinion Bloom. Bellow squats with a grunt on Bloom's upturned face, puffing cigar smoke, nursing a fat leg.
I've seen Keating Clay is elected chairman of the Richmond Asylum, and by the by, Guinness's preference shares are at 16 3/4. Curse me for a fool that I didn't buy that lot Craig and Gardner told me about. Just my infernal luck, curse it, and that goddamned outsider throwaway at 20-1.
He quenches his cigar angrily on Bloom's ear.
Where's that goddamned cursed ashtray?
Bloom, goaded, buttock smothered.
Oh, monsters, cruel one.
Bellow,
ask for that every 10 minutes. Beg, pray for it as you never prayed before.
He thrusts out a figged fist and foul cigar.
Here, kiss that. Bolt, kiss.
He throws a leg astride and, pressing with horseman's knees, calls in a hard voice,
Gee up, a cock horse to Banbury Cross. I'll ride him for the Eclipse Stakes.
He bends sideways and squeezes his man's testicles, roughly shouting,
Ho, off we pop. I'll nurse you in proper fashion.
He horse rides cock horse, leaping in the saddle.
The lady goes a pace, and the coachman goes a trot, and the gentleman goes a gallop, a gallop, a gallop, a gallop.
Flurry pulls at Bellow.
Let me on him now. You had enough. I asked before you.
Zoe, pulling at Flurry.
Me. Are you not finished with him yet, Socorris?
Bloom, stifling.
Can't.
Bellow.
Well, I'm not. Wait.
He holds in his breath.
Curse it. Here, this bung's about burst.
He uncorks himself behind, then contorting his features, farts loudly.
Take that!
He recorks himself.
Yes, by jingo, 16 3/4.
Bloom, a sweat breaking out over him.
Not man, he sniffs. Woman!
Bellow stands up.
No more blow hot and cold. What you long for has come to pass. Henceforth, you are unmanned and mine in earnest, a thing under the yoke. Now, for your punishment frock. You will shed your male garments, you understand, Ruby Cohen, and don the shot silk luxuriously rustling over head and shoulders, and quickly too.
Bloom shrinks.
Silk, mistress said, oh, crinkly, scrapey, must I tip-touch it with my nails?
Bellow points to his whores.
As they are now, so will you be. Wigged, singed, perfume-sprayed, rice-powdered, with smooth-shaven armpits. Tape measurements will be taken next your skin. You will be laced with cruel force into vice-like corsets of soft dove coutil, with whalebone busked to the diamond-trimmed pelvis. The absolute outside edge, while your figure, plumper than when at large, will be restrained in net-type frocks, pretty two-ounce petticoats, and fringes and things stamped, of course, with my house flag, creations of lovely lingerie for Alice, a nice scent for Alice. Alice will feel the pull-pull. Martha and Mary will be a little chilly at first in some delicate tie casing, but the frilly flimsiness of lace around your bare knees will remind you. Bloom, a charming soubrette with dauby cheeks, mustard hair, and large male hands and nose, leering mouth.
I tried her things on only once, a small crank in Hollow Street. When we were hard up, I washed them to save a laundry bill. My own shirts I turned. It was the purest thrift.
Bellow jeers. Little jobs that make mother pleased, eh? And showed off coquettishly in your domino at the mirror, behind closed-drawn blinds, your unscared thighs and he-goat's udders in various poses of surrender, eh? Oh, I have to laugh. That second-hand black opera top shift and short trunk leg naughties all split up the stitches at our last rape that Mrs. Miriam Dandrade sold you from the Shelburne Hotel, eh?
Bloom. Miriam, black, demi-mundane.
Yeah, we have the brothel cook, Mrs. Q. And of course, Bloom wouldn't know the cook in this place. Wrinkled, grey-bearded woman in a greasy bib, man's grey and green socks and brogues, ivory shoes, flour smeared, a rolling pin stuck with raw pastry in her bare red arm and hand appears at the door. I think that it was a standard in jokes, I remember, that the woman, when the husband came home drunk, stands behind the door with a rolling pin in her hand. I'm sure you've seen that long ago. Mrs. Q, ferociously, can I help? They hold and pinion Bloom. Bellow squats with a grunt on Bloom's upturned face, puffing cigar smoke, nursing a fat leg. I see Keating Clay is elected chairman of Richmond Asylum, so that is news that would be in the paper. And by the by, Guinness's preference shares are at 16¾, and she would be interested in the stock market because she must have money invested. Curse me for a fool that I didn't buy that lot, obviously wrong speculation then. Craig and Gardner told me about. Just my infernal luck, curse it. And that goddamned outsider throwaway at 20-1. We know that she must also have bet on another horse, not the throwaway that won the race. He quenches his cigar angrily on Bloom's ear. Where's that goddamned cursed ashtray? So Bloom becomes an ashtray for a moment. Bloom, goaded, buttock, smothered. Oh, monsters, poor one. Bellow, ask for that every 10 minutes. Beg, pray for it, as you never prayed before. He thrusts out the figged fist and fouled cigar. You kiss that, both, kiss. He throws a leg astride, and pressing with horseman's knee, calls in a hard voice, gee up! Then a rock horse to Banbury Cross. I think that is either a nursery rhyme or something you play with children who would sit on your knees like a horse, a cocker to Banbury Cross. Wait, I have it somewhere. A nursery rhyme. Ride a cock horse to Banbury Cross to see an old lady upon a white horse, rings on her fingers and bells on her toes. She shall have music wherever she goes. So that's. I ride him for the Eclipse stage. Eclipse is a very famous old classical racehorse. So Bloom becomes a possible racehorse. He bends sideways and squeezes his mount's testicles roughly, shouting, ho, off we pop. I nurse you in a proper fashion. He horse ride cock horse, leaping in the saddle. The lady goes a pace, and the coachman goes a trot, trot, and the gentleman goes a gallop, a gallop, a gallop. That's another kind of nursery rhyme. The lady goes a pace, a gallop, a gallop. So it's the pace, trot, and gallop. These are the various speeds of a horse. Then Flory pulls at Bellow. Let me on him now. You had enough. I asked before you. Zoe, pulling at Flory. Me. Are you not finished with him yet, Succoress? Broom, Stavely. Can't. Well, I'm not finished with him. Wait. He holds in his breath. Cursed, here. This bung's about burst. Bung is the hole in a barrel. He uncorks himself behind, then contorting his features, farts loudly. Take that. He recorks himself. Yes, by dingo. 16 3/4. That's how we measure horses. You see, this is all quite obscene, and it doesn't seem to be very erotic to me. And I've come to believe that only later on, maybe I said long ago, when the book was freed in America by a lawyer, a famous judgment that said the book is not obscene. He ended by saying a lot in the book may be emetic. It makes you throw up, but it is not aphrodisiac. I always took him to be complying to the law. It wasn't allowed to be aphrodisiac, but I now think that it's actually true. It is partly emetic, unpleasant, but there hasn't been much. We might discuss this if we were all together. There isn't much that's really aphrodisiac here, but a lot that seems to be unpleasant. This might be a kind of lingering effect of Catholic education. Sexuality is dirty and foul. So, Bloom, a sweat breaking out over him. Not man, his name is woman. Bellow stands up. No more blow hot and cold. There's a phrase, you can blow hot and cold in the same breath. I think that is goes back to somebody who saw when you have cold hands, you blow on your hands to heat them, but you... if there's something is hot, you blow in it to make it cool. What you long for has come to pass. Henceforth, you are unmanned, and mine in earnest. That is what Circe, Circe, in Homer did to men. They became unmanned and animals. Mine in earnest. A thing under the yoke. Now for your punishment, frock. There was always a special frock for punishment. You will shed your male garments, you understand. Ruby Cohen. Ruby, we've heard before, a jewel and all of that. So, and don the soft silk luxuriously rustling over head and shoulders and quickly too. Boom, shrinks. Silk, mistress, said. Oh, crinkly, scrapy. Must I tip-touch it with my nails? Hello, points to his horse. As they are now, so will you be. Now, normally this is a kind of thing that the dead say. As we are now, so you will be, a kind of memento mori. But here is the horse, as they are now, so will you be. Wicked, singed, That is when you burn some of the skin, perfume sprays, rice powdered with smooth shaven armpits. Tape measurements will be taken next to your skin. You will be laced with cruel force into vice-like corsets. A vice is something that presses you into something here, corsets. And soft earth goodill with whalebone busk. There was whalebone stays or corsets and things like busk. To the diamond-trimmed pelvis, the absolute outside edge, while your figure, plumper than men at large, will be restrained in net-tight frocks, pretty two-ounce petty coats and fringes, and things stamped, of course, with my house flag. Grace of lovely lingerie for Alice, a nice scent for Alice. Alice will from the poo-poo. Why Alice? I don't know. They said something about Alice in Wonderland. I don't see it. Martha and Mary, and this is what the painting Bloom remembered of the two women that had Jesus in the house, Martha and Mary, the peaceful, many peaceful pictures, of course. Martha and Mary would be a little chilly at first. It's a delicate thigh casing. But the frilly flimsiness of lace round your bare knees will remind you, Bloom, a charming soubrette. We heard in the Wandering Rocks chapter, there was a charming soubrette, a poster of her. She appeared in the theater. Dauby cheeks, that's how she was presented there. Mustard hair and large male hands and nose, leering mouth. I tried her things on only once. And that's, of course, another topic that was also became also known as something some people like, that you dress in the clothes of the opposite sex. It's very much fashionable now. So some people about the new kind of thing would have a field day in this chapter. Things only once, a small plank in Holler Street. When we were hard up, the Blooms were hard up when they lived in Holler Street. I washed them to save the laundry bill. My own shirt I turned. I think it was customary to turn your shirts, putting it on the inside out. It was the purest thrift economy. Bellow jeers. Little jobs that make mother pleased, eh? And showed off coquettishly in your domino at the mirror behind closed-drawn blinds. You unskirted thighs and he-goat udders. That is a description of Molly in the fourth chapter when you looked at her. And various poses of surrender, eh? Oh, I have to laugh. That second-hand black upper top, shift, and short trunk, leg, knotted, all split up the stitches at her last rape that Mrs. Miriam Dandridge sold you from the Shelburne Hotel. Oh, so again, it's some intimate clothes. And Bloom remembers in the eighth chapter that when he bought and sold second-hand clothes, that this woman, Mrs. Dandridge, an American divorcee, kind of handled these without any shame. The stitches that at her last rape, I don't know, it must have been Dan or so, you from the Shelburne Hotel. She stayed in the Shelburne Hotel, which was at the time the most expensive one in Dublin. Then Bloom says, Miriam Black, demi modern. Yeah, we still do a little bit, and then I stop.
One day, fellow guffaws.
Christ almighty, it's too tickling this. You were a nice-looking Miriam when you clipped off your backgate hairs and lay swooning in the thing across the bed as Mrs. Dandaraid, about to be violated by Lieutenant Smith Smythe, Mr. Philip Augustus Blockwell, MP, Signor Lachie de Ramo, the robust tenor, blue-eyed Bert the lift boy, Henry Fleury of Gordon Bennett fame, Sheridan the quadroon creases, the varsity wet Bob 8 from El Trinity, Ponto her splendid Newfoundland, and Bob's Dowager Duchess of Manor Hamilton.
He guffaws again.
Christ, wouldn't it make a Siamese cat laugh?
Bloom, her hands and features working. It was Gerald converted me to be a true Corsic lover when I was a female impersonator in the high school play, vice versa. It was dear Gerald. He got that kink, fascinated by Sister Stays. Now dearest Gerald uses pinky grease paint and gilds his eyelids. Cult of the beautiful.
Bellow, with wicked glee.
Beautiful, give us a breather. When you took your seat with womanish care, lifting your billowy flounces on the smooth-worn throne.
Bloom, science, to compare the various joys we each enjoy, earnestly, and really it's better the position, because often I used to wet.
Bellow,
sternly, no insubordination. The sawdust is there in the corner for you. I gave you strict instructions, didn't I? Do it standing, sir. I'll teach you to behave like a gentleman. If I catch a trace on your swaddles, by the ass of the Dordans, you'll find I'm a martinet. The sins of your past are rising against you. Many. Hundreds.
The sins of the past, in a medley of voices. He went through a form of clandestine marriage with at least one woman in the shadow of the Black Church. Unspeakable messages he telephoned mentally to Miss Dunn at an address in Delir Street while he presented himself indecently to the instrument in the call box. By word and deed, he encouraged the nocturnal strumpet to deposit fecal and other matter in an insanitary outhouse attached to empty premises. In 5 public conveniences, he wrote pencil messages offering his nuptial partner to all strong-membered males. And by the offensively smelling vitriol works, did he not pass night after night by loving courting couples to see if and what and how much he could see? Did he not lie in bed, the gross bore, gloating over a nauseous fragment of well-used toilet paper presented him by a nasty harlot, stimulated by gingerbread and a postal order?
Yeah, thank you. We stop here, then. Bellow guffaws, that's a laugh, a loud laugh. Christ almighty, this is too tickling, this. You were a nice-looking Miriam when you clipped off your backgate hairs and lay swooning the thing across the bed as Mrs. Dandraid, I guess this rich woman, about to be violated by Lieutenant Smith. Smith, these are all upper-class names. Mr. Philip Augustus Blockwell, MP, Signor Lachie de Ramo, and that, of course, is from that, from Don Giovanni, who sings to Sarlina Lachie de Ramo La Mano. That is the song that Molly and Boylan rehearsed a bit earlier. The robust tenor, blue-eyed Bert, the lift boy, Henry Fleury of Gordon Bennett fame, Sheridan the quadroon, Croesus. Oh, yeah, Croesus was the richest man in antiquity. The varsity wet Bob, 8 from Old Trinity. That is a rowing of the storm man. Ponto, her splendid Newfoundland, and Bob's Dowager Duchess of Manor Hamilton. So these are upper class people. He got falls again. Christ. Wouldn't it make a Siamese cat laugh? Her hands and features working. And then again, we have this Gerald that we had, I think, last time. No idea what he's doing. We haven't heard from him before. It was Gerald converting me to a true corset lover when I was female impersonator. In a high school play, vice versa. The female impersonator is a boy or a man who plays female roles. In the high school play, vice versa. That was a play, and I think that was actually given. It was a school play somewhere. It was Dear Gerald. He got kink, fascinated by Sister Stay. Now, Dearest Gerald uses pinky grease paint and gilds his eyelids. Cult of the beautiful. Seems to be somebody who dresses up as a woman. Then Bellow, with wicked glee. Beautiful. give us a breather. When you took your seat with womanish care, lifting your billowy flounces, frills, on the smooth-worn throne. Oh, science. To compare the various joys we each enjoy. Earnestly. And really, it's better the position. There are many ellipses where we don't quite know where they come. Because often I used to wet the bed. Well, certainly, no insubordination. The sawdust is there in the corner for you. Perhaps or usually the floor was covered with sawdust. I gave you strict instructions, didn't I? Do it standing, sir. Probably urinating. I'll teach you to behave like a gentleman. That's probably a gentleman who urinates into a pot that jingles. If I catch a trace of your swaddled diapers, aha, by the arse of the dorms, the rams. Doran's ask is a ballad about a drunk and mistakes the arse for his sweetheart. That's the same topic. The sins of your past are rising against you. And that comes here, the sins of the past, many hundreds. Then the sins of the past in a medley of voices. What Bloom has done. He went through a form of clandestine marriage with at least one woman in the shadow of the black church. What exactly do you do when you go to the form of marriage in the shadow of a church? Unspeakable messages he telephoned mentally to Miss Dunn. So he made obscene telephone calls. Some other women accused him earlier on to write them obscene letters to Miss Dunn at an address in Dolier Street. While he presented himself indecently to the instrument in the call box, that must be the theatre. By word and deed, he encouraged a nocturnalist trumpet prostitute to deposit fecal and other matter in an untidy outhouse attached to empty premises. In 5 public conveniences, he wrote pencil messages offering his nuptial partner to all strong-membered males. And by the offensively smelling vitriol works, did he not pass night after night by loving courting couples to see if and what and how much he could see? Obviously, a kind of voyeurism. Did he not lie in bed, the gross bore, gloating over a nauseous fragment of well-used toilet paper presented to him by a nasty harlot, stimulated by gingerbread and the postal order? Again, that sounds very much like these obscene letters that Joyce wrote to Nora that can be read. you go a little bit on, not much, then. A little bit of that.
Bellow whistles lightly. Say, what was the most revolting piece of obscenity in all your career of crime? Go the whole hog, puke it out, be candid for once. Mute inhuman faces throng forward, leering, vanishing, gibbering, boo-loo-hoo. Poldy cock, bootlaces a penny, Cassidy's hag, blind stripling, Larry rhinoceros, the girl, the woman, the whore, the other, the Bloom. Don't ask me, our mutual fate, Pleasant Street, I only thought the half of, I swear on my sacred oath. Bellow, peremptorily. Answer, repugnant wretch, I insist on knowing. Tell me something to amuse me. Smut, or a bloody good ghost story, or a line of poetry. Quick, 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 where, how, what time, with how many? I give you just 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3. Bloom, docile, good. I re-repugnosed in re-re-repugnant. Bellow, imperiously. Oh, get out, you skunk, hold your tongue. Speak when you're spoken to. Bloom bows. Master, mistress, man-tamer.
He lifts his arms, his bangle bracelets fall. Bellow, satirically.
By day you will souse and batter smelling on the clothes. Also when we ladies are unwell and swab out our latrines with dress pinned up and a dish clout tied to your tail. Won't that be nice?
He places a ruby ring on her finger.
And there now, with this ring I thee own. Yeah. Say,
we stop here, again. Mistress. Yeah. Well, Bella whistles loudly. What was the most revolting piece of obscenity in all your career of crime? Go with a whole hog. Hog is, of course, a pig. Puke it out. Be candid for once. Mute, inhuman faces throng forward, leering, vanishing, gibbering. Gibbering is what the dead do in Hamlet. Boulohoom, that is when Bloom looked into the mirror that distorted him. Paul de Kock, Paul de Kock, the French writer, and Pauli. Bootlace is a penny. That was somebody said that in the when he passed in the funeral carriage. Cassidy's hack. He saw a woman from Cassidy crossing the street, blind stripling. I don't know who Larry Rhinoceros is. The girl, the woman, the whore, the other way. Bloom, don't ask me. I'm mute of faith. Pleasant Street in the Jewish area. I thought the half of the, I swear on my sacred oath, fellow peremptorily. Repugnant wretch, I insist on knowing. Tell me something to amuse me, smut or a bloody good ghost story or a line of poetry. Quick, quick, quick. Where, how, what time? And that is a little bit like confession when the priest asks, how did you do it, what time and how often? With how many? I give you just 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3, then Bloom. I really repugnosed in rare repugnance. He's obviously stuttering. Hello, get out, you skunk. Hold your tongue. Speak when you're spoken to. And I think that's a good thing to stop then. Yeah. It would be nice if I could read this as in old time together, then we could discuss it. I'm quite sure that some of you might have some comments that I don't. It's all very strange. Is anyone not coming next Thursday? Otherwise, we can do it. Okay, then we will. Then we'll do it. It's boring enough for the whole festivities. Okay, then. Sorry for the, inadequate comment, but it's really too strange. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye bye.
How was last Thursday in Basel?
No, I was going. I liked it. I liked it. Yeah, can recommend it. Mm-hmm. You can go. It's still on a few times, and you find it on the internet. Hmm? Good.
Okay. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.